Well, good morning to you. My name is Pastor Mike Farley, and I'm the pastor of spiritual formation here at Central. It's a joy to be able to bring God's word to you this morning. And as we do that, I invite you to pray with me. Lord, it is the greatest privilege that you speak to us, that you gather us every week to proclaim your gospel good news to us again. And Lord, we pray that you would do that again this morning. Lord, that you would speak to us with words of power and life and love by your Spirit. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. What does it feel like to be neglected? Can you think of a time in your life when you have felt that way? Maybe you were in a place where you struggled to connect with the people around you. Maybe it was a party, or you were just starting a new job, or maybe you were at a school or some group meeting where you didn't know anyone, where everyone else seemed to know one another. There were people you didn't know. They had memories that you didn't share. They had been to events that you didn't attend. They laughed at jokes that you didn't understand. No one talks to you. Or maybe you get a quick, polite hello as someone passes by and turns away. And most people walk by as if you're just entirely invisible. How does that feel? It feels awkward. It feels so uncomfortable. It feels so painful to be neglected. Now, it's painful enough to be neglected at a party or at school or at some other group, but it is devastatingly painful to be neglected at church, where things should be so much different. We see in Acts 6 that as the church began to grow, they began to face this problem of neglect, but they noticed and they acted with the supernatural love of Christ to address that neglect, and so must we. Neglect has no place in the church of God, for God has made the church to be a supernatural community of supernatural love, where no one is neglected, where no one is unseen and unloved. Acts 6 shows us how the early church dealt with neglect, and through this story, God challenges us to follow Christ in loving the neglected. Let's look together at what happened, and then I'll challenge us to consider some ways that we have some of the same problems and some of the same possibilities to be a supernatural community. Let's read together from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. What we see in verse 1 in this passage that the church saw the neglected. Their eyes were opened and they recognized their neglect. The neglect was happening because, you see, there were two different language groups that existed within the church in Jerusalem. The first group our text calls the Hellenists. Now, that's a Greek word that refers to people who speak Greek. And so in this story, what we have here is a set of Greek-speaking Jewish Christians in the church in Jerusalem. The second group was called here the Hebrews. Now, this is a word that means people in this context who spoke Aramaic, which was a later form of the Hebrew language. So here in this story, we have a group of Aramaic-speaking Jewish Christians. So what's the problem? Well, when there are language barriers like this, it can be really easy for people in one group to neglect the people in the other. And that's what was going on here. We see that the Greek-speaking widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Now, what exactly is this? What are they talking about? Well, the word literally in Greek here is the daily diakonia. That's a word that means service. This is some kind of daily service. And in verse 2, we see a verb from the very same root that's translated here, to serve at tables. So there's some kind of daily service that's happening at tables that widows are not getting access to. I'm not exactly sure what kind of service this might be. The word can mean perhaps serving money at tables where people came to eat. It could also mean the ministry of the word that may have happened at tables, at community meals. Luke has already used this word in chapter 1 to refer to the ministry of the word that was done by the apostles. Or it just may mean literally serving food at tables for community meals. Whatever this daily service exactly was, it was needed every day, and the Greek-speaking widows were being neglected. Now, this was a serious problem for widows. This neglect left them in need of care. Think, what was it like to be a widow in the first century in Judea? There was no safety net that they could fall back on. There was no insurance, no welfare, no Social Security, no Medicare. There were only families. And if a widow had no family, they were poor, they were vulnerable, and they were incredibly dependent. This is why in God's law, all throughout Scripture, he expresses a special kind of compassion and care for widows. In the Old Testament law, God made special provisions for widows to be cared for. You can see this in places like Deuteronomy 14 and Deuteronomy 26. God urged his people to show special care and concern for widows as a mark of doing justice. And the prophets over and over again called Israel back to this calling to care for the vulnerable, to care for widows in their midst, that you can see in Isaiah and Jeremiah and elsewhere. The same thing is true in the New Testament. For in James chapter 1, we read this: religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. You see, widows in the ancient world were dangerously vulnerable. They could not be neglected. This was a major problem. But this was also a serious problem for the apostles. They were in danger of neglecting their full calling. Now, the apostles had been doing more than just teaching and preaching and praying. They had been highly involved in the receiving of money and the receiving of property in order to care for the needs of people in the church. We saw an example of that in chapter 4 just a few weeks ago. People were bringing money and property and sales and laying the money at the feet of the apostles for them to help distribute for the needs of the church. But as the church in Jerusalem was growing, the details of caring for that church were growing. Keeping up with the daily table service was becoming just too much for the apostles, and it was leading them to neglect their primary calling of the ministry of the Word of God and prayer. See, the apostles had a unique calling as eyewitnesses of the risen Jesus to focus on proclaiming the good news of the resurrected Christ to the whole city and beyond. The daily table service was becoming too much. They had too many hats to wear. The apostles needed help. And the result was a serious problem, not just for them and for the widows, but for the whole church. Because what was at stake here was the neglect of the church's character and the very credibility of the gospel. The character question in this situation is this: what kind of community is the church, after all? Is the church a place for insiders only? Is it only a close, comfortable circle for people who already speak the same language? Is it only for people who look the same and talk the same and who already know each other? That's a really natural way for sinful, fallen people to function, but that's not the supernatural character of Christ. The supernatural character of Christ is a character that welcomes the weak, that seeks out the vulnerable, that pursues the neglected. So the question for the early church is this: would they be a community that is shaped by the character of Christ? There's also a credibility question. If there were some in the church who were neglected, we have to ask, is the good news of Jesus actually good news for them? If there were some in the church who are neglected, would the good news sound like good news to them in that situation? After all, the church was saying that Jesus is the Lord of all peoples. He's the Savior of all peoples. He's the hope of all peoples. And now, when the church was faced with an opportunity, would they act on that message? As people who'd received the saving grace of Jesus, would they become the means of grace through His Spirit to serve people who were neglected? The gospel is proclaimed not just in words, but in works of love. It is proclaimed in our character just as much as our conversations. Would the early church give the world a gospel that was credible because they walked what they talked in the power of the Holy Spirit? This was a problem for the widows, and a problem for the apostles, and a problem for the church. Now, this story has a happy ending. The early church not only saw the neglect, but they acted. They became a community of supernatural love, just as Christ had made them to be. They solved the problem of the widow's neglect by providing people who could care with compassion. The church showed the love of God, the love of Christ that came to live and fulfill in us by selecting the seven. These seven men were called to care, and they could do that because they actually came from the neglected group of Greek-speaking people themselves. If you look at that list of hard-to-pronounce names in this chapter, you'll discover that every one of those names is a Greek name. These men were members of this neglected group of Greek-speaking people in the church. The church not only saw and listened, but they empowered this and honored the neglected group in their church by allowing them to choose leaders from their own group to represent them in the church's leadership, and the apostles approved. You see, the answer to neglect came in the form of people who extended the care and compassion of Christ. In this way, the church showed the love of Christ, who came to care for us with compassion by becoming one of us to represent us. The seven also solved the problem of the apostles' neglect because they were people who could share in their calling. You see, the seven were men filled with the Spirit and of wisdom, as it says in verse 3. This means that they were skilled in the art of godly living, that they had skill, they cultivated the skills of applying the Word of God and living it in every situation. Note that they were not chosen just because they were Greek, but they were chosen also because they had the qualities that were essential for leadership in the Church of Christ. And so therefore they could share in the calling of leadership by serving practical needs, so that the apostles could devote themselves with focus to the ministry of the word and of prayer. And this solution also solved the problem of the church's neglect with the character of Christ. This whole process displays the character of Christ in beautiful ways. The church saw the problem. They listened. They acted to embrace the neglected as full and equal members of the church family. They acted to empower and to honor and to care people who were being neglected. They acted like a community that is defined by the hospitality of Christ and the compassion of Christ and the goodness of Christ for those who are neglected. So today we need to ask ourselves, in light of this chapter, are we becoming a community of supernatural love like this? Are we becoming a community more and more that displays the character of Christ? A community where the good news is credible and believable because we walk what we talk? We need to ask ourselves, are there people at Central who are being neglected? And if so, what can we do about it? The most direct application of this text, of course, would be to widows in our own church. And I'm glad to say, I'm so glad that our church has established a ministry of care for widows and widowers in our church family that helps to serve for all of their practical needs. If you are a widower or a widow, and you're not connected to this ministry, I want to encourage you to contact Pastor Charles Godwin or Tina Duke, and they would be glad to connect you to this ministry. But are there others who are neglected in our church? I'm going to mention several groups, and then I invite you along the way to continue to think about others as well. One potential area of neglect in our church has to do with mental health. We have people and families at Central who are struggling with various kinds of mental health challenges, and that can feel like a really lonely experience of neglect when these challenges are not well understood. We want to be a church community that is defined by the care and compassion and hospitality of Christ. And that means being a church where it is okay to confess our brokenness, where we support and honor and care for each other no matter what our struggles are. Now, what does it take to do that well when we're talking about mental health issues? Well, it means listening well and not making quick assumptions about what it must be like. It means showing Christ's empathy and leaning into, rather than pulling away from, hard conversations about hard daily realities. It means being patient to walk with people through these struggles for the long haul, where there are very rarely any quick fixes. One way that we are trying to do this as a church is to offer some new educational opportunities about mental health and some groups for support. There'll be several short classes led by Christian counselors that is coming this fall during Equip Central on Wednesday nights. You can contact Pastor Charles or Robin Callen for more information about ministry related to mental health at Central. Another area where neglect can be very easy to happen is in responding to ethnic and racial minorities in our church. In recent years, the Lord has been drawing to our church family more people who are Chinese or Taiwanese or Korean or Indian or some other East Asian ethnicity. We also have African American members in our church and international students from Africa and elsewhere. And this is a wonderful blessing. But since the majority of our church is white, it can be easy for those of us in the majority to neglect the unique perspectives and needs of people who are ethnic minorities, simply because we may not think about it, or we may not realize how different others' experiences might be. The church in Acts chapter 6 gives us a good model for helping people who are ethnic and racial minorities feel fully included and respected as equal members of our church family. It looks like being curious about the life experiences and history of people who are racially and ethnically different than we are. Make a point to get to know people who are different than you. Make a point to listen to them well and to honor them as whole people and fellow members of the body of Christ. Make a point to include others who are ethnically different than you are in your activities and your discussions and your prayers. Our church family grows stronger when we strive intentionally to welcome and to love all kinds of people so that we become more and more like the vision of God's kingdom that we see in Revelation 7:9, a people from every tribe and people group and language. A third group where neglect can happen in our church has to do with single people. Did you know that over 20% of the people who attend Central are single? And there are many ways that single people in our church can feel neglected in our church family. It's usually just little things that are often said or unsaid, almost always unintentional, but the effect can make them feel neglected, like second-class citizens who don't really have a full or equal standing in our church. It might come in the form of questions like, "When are you going to get married?" as if they should or must. But not all single people want to marry or expect to marry. Some are called by God into singleness for a season of their life, or perhaps for their whole lives, just as we saw in the life of the Lord Jesus himself, or with the Apostle Paul. And that is an incredibly important calling that we must acknowledge and honor and support. Whether or not single people want to get married, single people need the church to be a meaningful family, to enable them to flourish in all the ways that God has called them to serve him. It may well come in the form of comments about marriage or parenting sometimes that assume that everyone in a group is married or is a parent. Or sometimes single Christians find themselves not being invited very often to dinner parties or small groups or social events with other couples. Neglect can happen in lots of ways. And almost all of this is usually unintentional. But the impact is that it can feel like neglect. We need to do what the early church did. We need to see and to listen and to act with honor and care. We are the family of God. Our character and the very credibility of the gospel is at stake in how we live as a family for all people, single or married, living and serving together. And no doubt there are many other categories of people who can feel neglected, such as people who are new to our church. Let's ask the Lord together how he can show us whom we might be neglected, people who need to be seen and need to be loved. For the Lord calls all of us, and especially those with leadership responsibilities of any kind, to look and to listen and to go out of our way to love and to honor and to serve people who are neglected with the supernatural compassion of Christ himself. Do you remember what it was like when you were at that party or that new job or the new school where you were neglected? Did you ever have someone in that situation who saw you, who sought you out, who welcomed you, and who loved you? How did that feel? Well, friends, you can be that person. God calls all of us to be, and God's Spirit empowers us to be the good news, the very means of God's grace to other people who can feel neglected. We can display the love of Christ. We can be God's means to show that love to other people. And if we do this well, the world will see in us a supernatural community of supernatural love. By the grace and power of God, may it be so more and more and more at Central. Would you pray with me? Our Lord, we are so thankful that you see us and that you do not neglect us, but that you pursue us with love and compassion always. So, Lord, we pray that you would empower us to be people who love in the way that we have been loved by you, who see and who listen and who seek out and pursue people, Lord, all people, that we might be a church family where everyone feels loved and seen and honored and cared for. Lord, we pray that you would do this for your great glory and for our great joy, that we might become a church family that looks like the fullness of your kingdom more and more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.